Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is Ellison Common. She is a life coach and the author of The Gift of Maybe, Finding Hope and Possibility in Uncertain Times. Ellison and I will be discussing how the gift of maybe provides us with the tools needed to embrace uncertainty as an opportunity. Good morning, Ellison. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Wonderful. It is a pleasure to have you on the air with me in my weekly kitchen hangout. The Gift of Maybe is a delightful read. It is very well written. The book reminded me about my mom telling me a long time ago about encountering and gaining new life experiences. There's a lot of wisdom in your book. Congratulations on your accomplishments.
Oh, thank you.
Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Well, I had a pretty nice childhood. I grew up on Long Island. I had a loving, caring family, but they were worriers. They were always worried about what was going to happen next in all our lives, and I think that I picked it up at a very young age. And then I went out into society, and there's a lot of projecting about the future. What are you going to do when you grow up? How are things going to work out? Is something bad going to happen? So between my upbringing at home and between going out into society, I think that I picked up this addiction. And I say I was addicted to certainty. I always needed to know what was going to happen next. And if I didn't know what was going to happen next in my life, I feared things weren't going to work out or things were going to be bad. And I think that's a very difficult way to live. And I think a lot of people in our society live that way. And what we do in order to deal with this fear of uncertainty is we write stories about what needs to happen in our lives to be okay. I think some people would say, I need to have this job until I retire. I need to have this amount of money in the bank when I'm at a certain age. My child needs to go to this college to be okay. And although I think intellectually we know life could happen many different ways, but emotionally we can't handle it. And so when these stories don't happen, we spin out of control. If you lose your job, your child doesn't get into the college that you thought they would get into. And so for me, I started to write stories in my life to make myself feel better. I would write the story that if this thing will happen, then life will work out and I won't have any more problems. Mm-hmm. And the biggest story that I wrote was that I was going to get a job at a large law firm. I was going to become an attorney. I was going to marry this great guy. The balloons were going to come down, and my life would have no more uncertainty in it. And I actually did go to law school, and I did get a job at a very large law firm overlooking, you know, Central Park West in the city. And I thought life was great, and I would never have another problem because I couldn't handle the uncertainty. And I remember the second day of work, my office mate comes in and says to me, Allison, did you hear they're firing half the first years? And I was a first year. And all of a sudden, my head starts to spin again. What's going to happen? How am I going to pay my rent? What are my parents going to think? So this plagued me for a very long time. But I think when I got to that place where I truly believed I had arrived and things spun out again, I never quite recovered from that level of anxiety for a long time. And then they ended up not firing me. But then I worried, were they going to like my memo? Was I going to get a raise? Was there going to be another terrorist attack in New York City? So the anxiety kept going and going and going. And eventually I stopped sleeping. And my immune system became compromised. So I started to go to all these doctors. And I said, there's something wrong with me. You need to help me. And they took all this blood work. They said, there's nothing wrong with me. But they gave me this little blue pill for my anxiety. And they said, just take this and everything will be okay. But even the blue pill gave me anxiety. So I just kept struggling and struggling and struggling. And then one day, I started to try other things. I started to eat differently, acupuncture, I did Qigong, and one day I went, but the minute something unexpected happened in my life, I spun out of control no matter what I was doing. And one day I went to my Qigong teacher, and he told me this beautiful story about this farmer. This farmer had a horse, and his horse ran away. And his neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe. And the next day the horse came back with five mares. The neighbor came by and said, you have the best luck. And the farmer said, maybe. The next day, the farmer's son was on the horse. He fell off and broke his leg. The neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. The farmer said, maybe. The next day, the army came to take his son away to war, but they couldn't take him because his leg was broken. And the neighbor came by and said, "You have the best luck." And the farmer said, "Maybe." And the Taoist tradition, the story means things are neither good or bad, they just happen. But for me, maybe because I'm from the West, I don't know, I felt this huge pop in my chest, and all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I was filled with hope and possibility. Because I had been so worried in my life that the horse would run away, it never occurred to me that he could come back. And that day, my life changed forever. I went home, and I had just left the law and started a business consulting practice, and I had all these worries. I wasn't going to have enough clients. I wasn't going to make enough money. And I threw every single fear against maybe, and I realized maybe that thought's not true. Maybe something else will happen. Maybe things will get better. Maybe things are good. And with this little idea of maybe, I went from being this fearful person, always worried what was going to happen next, to somebody who viewed life with hope and possibility. And I see now uncertainty as my friend because the unknown is where our life changes. And it was a huge transformation for me. And then I shared it with other people. And it's been a very interesting journey.
That sounds wonderful. You're very passionate about the concept of maybe, and it's worked for you. You and I, we grew up with the concept of actually fear-driven.
Yes.
Fear of failure, fear of this, fear of that, fear of not being accepted, and so forth. So it is a nightmare. I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's never enough. You're only as good as what you've accomplished yesterday. And then today is a brand new sheet of paper, and like, oh my God, what do I need to do today, you know, and to get things done right.
And if you're afraid of the unknown, if you're afraid of the unknown, it's going to be really hard to deal with because you're always going to be worried it's not going to work out. Because, you know, life always has all these twists and turns. But if you're a fear-based thinker and you're always projecting, it's going to be hard to get a hold of it. And then eventually you get so afraid you don't pursue your goals because the fear just kicks in and paralyzes you. But with this idea of maybe you could set goals, but you have this looseness about you, you have this ease, you realize that things could happen many ways. And maybe what's happening right now will get better. Maybe I'll figure it out. Maybe I can do this. Maybe what that person's thinking about me is not true. So what it does is it casts doubt on all our doubt and casts doubt on the fear. And so it allows us to get up every day, be hopeful, but realize, okay, I'm going to hold this, my life, my goals, in a loose way because I realize there'll be twists and turns. But just because they're twists and turns, it doesn't mean that things are not working out. It doesn't mean that things can't get better.
Well, with your concept, in understanding it correctly, you are in control at all times. Not that we're all control freaks. It's got nothing to do with that, but it gives you a sense of being able to chart your life. The environment does not dictate what you can and cannot do, but you yourself, is a matter of how you want to take what you have encountered and formulate a game plan on how to address those issues based on what you want to get done.
Right. Well, you gain control of your perspective,
right?
And that's the most important thing because that's what cuts us down every day, is that we lose the perspective. We you know, we wake up and we're so excited that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Like I could have a client come into my office when he's starting a business and he could say, "I'm so excited. I'm going to have, at the end of the month, I'm going to have 30 clients and make $30,000.
Yeah.
Now, if he's always worried and he can't hold positive thoughts when negative things happen, at the end of the month, if he has two clients and only makes $5,000, he's going to say, "Oh, my business is not working out, game over." But with this idea of maybe, he could hold a different perspective. Maybe my business is working out. I thought it would be different, but maybe it's still okay. Maybe I need to change my marketing. Maybe I need to shift something else that I'm doing. So it allows us to have control of holding on to our goals and hold that perspective and at the same time deal with the twists and turns of life.
Wonderful. What compelled you to write The Gift of Maybe?
That's such a great question because I never intended to share this with anybody. It was something that helped me. I was suffering so much that when I found it, it was like it just kept changing my life. And I was so open and I was so happy, but I was still working with all these clients and I was dealing with them with their finance issues, with their marketing issues, even legal issues. Even though I became a consultant, I was doing everything.
Yeah.
But I saw that no matter how much information I was able to give somebody, if they were afraid of uncertainty, their stress and their worry overcame them. They couldn't hold on to their goals. They couldn't pursue their businesses. And one day, it was after the 08 crash, and I had a client, and no matter what I said, it didn't matter. And finally, I just told him the story about the farmer. We started to speak about maybe, and it was the first time in a year that I was able to give this client of mine some perspective. And he turned around to me that day and said, "Allison, this makes sense to me." And today he's actually one of the most successful clients that I have. And it was, so that's where it started. So I started to share with people this idea, and they just started to grasp it and do well with it. And then I got this offer, and we had talked about this before. We got on the phone that I got this offer to write a book, and I had no idea even what that meant. So I went home and I started to write this idea of maybe out, and I put all my ideas on a paper, and I gave it to the guy, and he turned around to me and said, "You either need an editor or you need to take a class, because no one's ever going to read this book." But because I was in maybe, I was like, okay, well, maybe I should figure out how to write a book. Yeah. And then I decided to write a book proposal. But I was in this open space, so no matter what happened, no matter whatever roadblock that I hit, it almost didn't matter, because it was just a stepping stone for something else. And then I got an agent, which was great. And she sent it out to everybody, and then the response was, "Who is this woman? We've never heard of her before. We love this idea, but she's really a nobody." So then I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, that means I have to build a platform. So that's when I went on social media, and I became a blogger. So the whole experience was so expansive. And even when I became a blogger and I had all these followers, I still couldn't get a deal. So I went into this idea of maybe again, what's now possible? And I self-published my book. And that was also a great experience. I was able to touch people I probably wouldn't have reached on a larger platform. And then one day I said, "Not enough people are reading my book. I'm going to give it away for free." And I gave it away for free for 3 days, and over 30,000 people downloaded my book. And it was such an amazing experience. And then the minute that happened, all the big publishers came in. And in the end, I had my choice of which publisher to choose. So it was this huge process writing the book. I think it was healing for me. It was healing for my clients. And I think just experiencing maybe on every level, through the rejection, through the twists and turns, it was so enriching. And that's really the path of how this book was picked up by Penguin Random House.
Fantastic. That sounds wonderful. Looking back from the time that you got your feet down in terms of addressing maybe, prior to that, you're totally a different person, aren't you?
Before I found maybe, I was a totally different person. I was always anxious. I was always worried. And I was always projecting what was going to happen next. I wasn't present in my life. Out of all the things that have happened to me, it was that maybe made me present. Because what it allowed me to do to stop the fear, to stop the fear-based thoughts, to stop the projection. If you're not projecting in the future, you're going to become very present in the moment, with hope and possibility. So it changed every part of me, because my internal dialogue shifted from fear to hope and possibility.
So with this new you, what happened around you? How the people around you accepting you and so forth?
Well, at first there was resistance. There was resistance. I mean, you form relationships with people based on common traits.
Right.
So a lot of people in my life, they're worriers. My family, they're worriers. And my clients. I attracted legal clients and business clients that were worriers. So I had a real big circle of worriers around me.
And
it was a slow process. But I have to say that most people around me, even if it took years, I find they eventually embrace maybe. Even my dad, and my dad is much more of, I would say, a Buddhist, he accept what is. And I've seen him over the last couple of years, when there have been family issues, he'll turn around and say, "Well, maybe things will be okay. Maybe they'll get better." And in that mindset, just kind of, instead of just accepting, finding hope and possibility, and with that mindset, also opening up to new ideas. I think acceptance is very important in life, because we're in a situation, we need to accept what is. But sometimes what happens is we close down. We say, "Well, this is how things are, and they're never going to change." So I've seen the people around me you could accept, but don't give up the hope and possibility, because life always changes. And that's what maybe does. It allows you to be present and have hope and possibility at the same time. So everybody around me, I hang out with a cheerier crowd now. It's the same crowd. But they're all into maybe, which is so profound.
Fantastic. What are the three crucial ingredients in pursuing the philosophy of maybe?
Well, I think that the ingredients, the first thing is to create awareness of what your fear-based thoughts are. What are your negative thoughts? And in the book, there's this great exercise in the first chapter, and you actually have the opportunity to write down your most fearful thought, whatever that would be. And then ask yourself, are you absolutely certain if it's true? And if you're not certain, and usually we're not certain, my business will never be successful, I will never find somebody to marry, my child won't be okay. Most of the times, we don't really know how things are going to work out. So when we ask ourselves, are you absolutely certain that fear-based thought is true, we're going to say, no, I'm not absolutely certain. So first there's this awareness and this question, and then after you do that, you start to write these maybe statements down. Maybe that thought's not true. Maybe things will change. Maybe things will get better. So that's the second piece of it. You do those maybe statements, and then you're going to start to feel this little pop within you. Then the third piece is, now what else is possible? And even if you don't know the answer at the moment, you're open, you're available. You're telling life, I am available for something else. I am available for change. So I think awareness, maybe statements, and then having that question out there, what else is possible? I think if you could embrace those three ideas under the umbrella of maybe, you're going to have a different experience in life.
Fantastic. One of the things you talk about a lot in the book is having hope and faith. How does that play in the role of setting your mind to approach things from a proactive manner?
That's a great question. There are some people in life that have faith. They're born that way. They were brought up that way. Sometimes they're religious. They just believe that they'll be okay no matter what. And if you have faith, you don't need maybe. You're there. But there are a lot of us that don't have faith, and we grapple with these big questions in life. Why is this happening? Why aren't things working out differently? How do I deal with this? So without this idea of hope, it's going to be hard for people to get to where they need to go. And that's what maybe does. It's almost like a bridge from belief to faith. Because when we write these beliefs, they don't really have ground in them. I'm going to do this. This is what's going to happen. This is my goal. This is this. But if you don't have faith, the minute something negative happens, you're going to lose your way. So it's almost like you're always battling between positive and negative thinking. But with this idea of maybe, you can kind of cultivate, sometimes I call it a cognitive faith, but you could cultivate this hope that no matter what you're facing, you can handle it because you know things will change. So maybe cultivates hope, it cultivates possibility, and eventually I think that people cultivate faith with it ultimately, because when you keep having these experiences, when you embrace maybe and you see that so much more is possible, that you're going through a hard time, you held on to maybe, you pursued it and you achieve it, that's when you build the experiences that I think build a foundation of faith. And the more you live in maybe, the more I think you eventually you will have faith that, you know, no matter what happens, life always has maybe. Things will always change.
It actually reinforces your faith.
I think it does. And also those moments where you lose faith, you have maybe. I mean, we're human. We're having this experience. Things are not always easy. So if you lose your faith, you have maybe. So you could even play with both of them, whatever works for you in that moment to help you get through that time with strength and perseverance.
You also talk about linear thinking in your book. And I like the way you broke it down in terms of we don't think about things that way, but we are always confined in a certain way of our thought process. So let's talk a little bit about that. What is linear thinking?
Linear thinking, we all are linear thinkers in a way, and sometimes linear thinking is good. If you break your leg, you know, okay, I broke my leg, I need to go to the hospital, I need to get an x-ray. If you're building a building, well, we need to have a steel structure in it. But other times in life, linear thinking limits us. And the reason why we have these linear thoughts is usually based on the past. And the linear thoughts, because this is happening in my life today, things aren't going to change tomorrow. Or a linear thought could be, like I said about that client, this is in a month I'm going to have this many clients and I'm going to have this much money. And so these linear thoughts, they're the stories that we write. And sometimes we write them because it's our goal, and other times we write them to make ourselves feel better in the present. But life never goes exactly as we planned. And if we're not willing to let go of that linear thought,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be stressed, we're going to be worried, and we're going to have a hard time pursuing the things that we want in life. It's almost like you could hold a thought in this little test tube, or you could throw that fear-based thought in the ocean. If you throw something in the ocean, you're going to see so much more. It's possible. So our linear thoughts, they limit us because it's saying life has to be one way. But with maybe, you go beyond the linear thought because you realize, yes, my life could work out this way, but maybe something else could happen too. So it's recognizing all the possibilities. And it's much easier when you hold your life in a larger perspective and you believe in more possibilities, you're going to achieve more. And you're going to be more at ease and you're going to be more joyful because you're not always saying, my life's not working out. You're open. You're like, well, maybe it is.
That's correct. And then again, people need to understand that life is always built on layers. Success is built on layers. So one maybe possibility brings us to the next level of possibility, the next level of possibility, and before you know it, you are actually experiencing this progression in life.
Absolutely. Even just my own experience, I am in such, even with my career, I am in such a different place today than I was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was with each step, with each maybe, with each possibility that I was open to.
Right.
And when you look back, every twist and turn where you're banging your head against the wall saying life is not working out, if you stay really open, you'll find, well, wow, if this didn't happen and I didn't have to make a left turn because I thought it was going to go straight, I wouldn't be where I am now. So that's what's so interesting, that we always – There are layers that we build on, and sometimes we think it's not working out, but it is. So this idea of maybe you don't go through all the suffering. You just show up and you say, okay, what's possible? What's left in this moment?
Mm-hmm. So true. You talk about being in the present moment and the essential thought of letting the past go. Present moment, people talk about it all the time. They can be good and it can be bad. So let's talk about your approach to the present moment as a gift.
Well, I'm always amazed that people, you know, in our society and teachers, people say, just be present, be present. That's a difficult task for most people. One, because they're worried about the future, they're projecting, and also because their past is such that they can't let things go. They've lived a life of poverty. They've lived a life of struggle. They've lost things. Their businesses hasn't worked out. And people say, just be present. Well, first of all, sometimes, like you said, the present is difficult. But also sometimes it's hard to be present because the past is plaguing you. So it's hard to start anything new because you lost your belief. You lost your hope that things could be different. And again, that's why I love maybe, because it stops, like we talked about before, it stops your projection of the future because you realize maybe everything will work out, maybe things will be different. But it also allows you to let go of the past because with maybe, you recognize maybe things will be different this time. Maybe the past is over. Maybe things were like that yesterday, but they don't have to be like that today. So it casts doubt on your past because it allows you to realize that this is a new moment, which is so profound to be able to let that go. And what it also does is it allows you to let go of regret. And out of all the things people come to me, to my office, they're either projecting to the future or they're telling me stories about what could have happened in their life and how they missed that opportunity. If they would have gone into business with Stan 10 years ago, they would be a millionaire today. Or had they married that woman, life would be great. But the problem with regret is that it's a linear story. We're telling the story that had we made that decision, we know what would have happened. But life has twists and turns, and we really have no idea. And maybe this story that we're writing that life would have been great, maybe it wouldn't have been. So that also is such a powerful idea that we can let go of regret with the recognition that maybe it wouldn't have been better, and all we know are here we are in this moment with the hope and possibility that life could be better today.
So true. I've been taught to look at the past as a point of reference rather than a point of guide. If it's a guide, then the future never changes. Rather, if you use it as a point of reference, then being in the present moment, you can always create what the future is.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a great way to look at it.
Can we use our emotions and beliefs to help us to chart a new paradigm?
Absolutely. That is what maybe is one tool to help us do that. And as I said in the beginning of our conversation, intellectually, we know life has possibilities. Mm-hmm. Intellectually, we know when a door closes, another one opens. But emotionally, we don't know this because we're always saying, well, this should have happened and things aren't working out. And so until our emotions, intellectually and emotionally, we align, we can't be present and it's going to be hard to create things. So with this idea of maybe, it allows us to find a new way to react to life on an emotional level. Because we're not telling the story that things aren't working out. We don't feel stuck. We don't feel negative. We feel more open. We feel more hopeful. So when we have this emotional awakening, we're going to show up differently because our perspective is going to change. I always tell this story that, you know, you could walk into the kitchen and you could see that you have dirty dishes in the sink. And you could say, my kitchen's dirty. Or you could open up all the cabinets and realize most of the dishes in your kitchen are clean, right? And that's but that's what we do. Like, we're always focusing on that one thing that's not working out. And that becomes everything to us. So with maybe, it allows you to take off the focus on that one aspect of life and look at it in a larger picture. So you're going to become more grateful. You're going to have a larger perspective, and you're going to gain the hope and possibility. So when you shift emotionally from being negative, fear-based, to being in maybe and being open, everything changes. Perspective, paradigm, you're living in a new world.
What is the greatest challenge does someone face in terms of making this shift to grasping and understanding and embracing the concept of maybe?
I think their past. I think the way their habits. We are so programmed to react negatively. We are so programmed to go to work in the morning and think this project is going to go well, to think our boss is going to like what we're doing, to think our coworker, or even the opposite, to think our coworker is going to be nasty to us. We're just so ready for things to be a certain way that we're not open to life. And it's a knee-jerk reaction. We're on automatic. We are having thousands of thoughts a day that are negative, that are fearful. So we have to remember. It's almost like, how do we remember to stay in maybe? How do we create this awareness? I think the tool is easy to get. The practice, I think, is where the challenge lies. So what I try to help people do is I say, use maybe as much as possible. Sometimes when you wake up in the morning, commit to it. Say, today, I'm going to use maybe when I see my coworker. He's always so nasty to me, but I'm going to stay maybe. No matter what he says to me, I'm going to stay open. I'm going to stay open no matter how my boss reacts to my project today. And because you're preparing yourself for it, even if you just are able to use it in that moment, you're going to have a different experience because you're not going to have that knee-jerk reaction, things are bad. You're going to stay open. You're going to listen more to what the other person is saying, and you're going to be more creative, and you're going to find more opportunity. And the more you use it like that, then you're going to start to use it on a daily basis. It's going to become a habit that you're going to be, someone's going to say, do you want to go someplace for dinner? And you're going to say, well, maybe I should try that. And then it's just going to start infiltrating the way you think. And then every day you're going to use it more and more. And eventually you're not even going to have to say the word. It's just going to be how you think. And that's the ultimate goal.
You're right. Well, you have a choice. If you live your life in a defensive mode, eventually, whatever defense you put up is going to crack. But if you live your life from a perspective of a proactive standpoint of view, then there's all these endless possibilities.
Right. So it's about remembering. It's about how do we remember. And that's why I love maybe, because it's this simple little word. You don't have to go into the, you know, the back room at work and meditate for 30 minutes. You just have to say this one word maybe, and it reminds you. It's just this, all of a sudden, boom, there you are, you're open. And it seems so simple, but it is so profound when you could show up for life with it being different and not telling all these stories about how everything is going to be, because you really don't know.
Yeah.
And within that
not
knowing, there's so much more that's possible.
So true. How does spirituality play a role in maybe?
I think that for me, I know we spoke about this before we got on the air, I couldn't even get to spirituality. My mind was just racing a million miles a minute. I couldn't slow down. I couldn't see anything. I was worried all the time. I was very vested in everything that was happening day to day, what the future was going to bring, how much money I was going to make, that what maybe allowed me to do, it allowed me to clear all those thoughts. And I'm not saying I have no thoughts, but it slowed me down. And there's more space between the worry. There's more space between every event. And I think when you're able to quiet the mind down, you get more in touch with who you really are, your authentic self. What are your true desires? What are your true passions? Because sometimes you're so fear-based, you won't even allow yourself to connect with what you really want in your life. You're just on that treadmill, just moving, trying to keep everything together. So when you're able to quiet the mind a little bit, for me, it was my first experience of quieting the mind. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to get to know who you are. Then you're going to start to create different practices, and you might explore all these different things in your life. So for me, maybe connect was the first time I connected with my spirituality. And I think I know a lot of people have had a similar type of experience. I have clients who are never going to go beyond maybe. Mm-hmm. What maybe does for them, it alleviates their stress and worry. It allows them to be more joyful every day. It allows them to be with their family and be more peaceful at work, and for them, that's life. And there are other people who have embraced maybe, and now they're into Reiki, they're into meditation, they're into, you know, going to India. It just depends what you want in your life, and it's all okay. But the most profound thing is you quiet your mind and you get more in touch with your true authentic self.
That in itself is very powerful, because when you experience the authentic you, the humbleness that you feel from within, it's totally different than the fear of not being able to achieve what you want to achieve, rather than you're looking through the eyes of love and you're speaking from the heart. So now you have a totally different demeanor. That, I think, when you talk about in your book, the internal perspective, the internal workings of about external experiences, you are now in control of your internal self.
Right. And what you said was just so powerful. That instead of coming from this place of your fear-based thoughts, mm-hmm. that you come from this place of love and humble. You're humble and you're different, because you're seeing life through a new set of eyes, a new lens, and mm-hmm. everything that's happened to you before doesn't seem as relevant because you're seeing life differently. And that's where the internal maybe starts to really take hold and makes you more confident, because you realize that everything that's happened before, everything anybody said to you, maybe that's not true, and maybe life will be different. And that fear is gone, and you're more relaxed mm-hmm. state where you believe that things are possible, and you believe more that you're capable of more things. Because it's really the fear that keeps us from our
true
potential. So how do we let that go? Someone says, oh, just don't be afraid. Well, that's, again, a tall order for somebody.
Right,
so maybe
right.
it's this mecca, maybe I can do it. Maybe things could be different. And again, it sounds so simple, but you're giving yourself a little stepping stone to let go of what was and create something else.
Right. Fear can be good, but if it's overwhelming, then it's not good. I think one needs to have fear. Fear can be a great motivation, but at the same time, one needs to understand being fearless means you have no feelings. So I think fear is important. However, you keep it in the context of external fear versus internal fear. So you can be fearful of the external situation, but you know the authentic you. You know what your capabilities are. And so now you formulate game plans based on your upper and lower limits to address
right.
those issues.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely correct. And every emotion, you know, maybe doesn't stop you from feeling your emotions. We're going to feel
right.
what we feel. We're going to, if we feel afraid, if we feel anger, if we feel sad, we have to allow that. I remember once I decided, this is when I was before I found maybe, mm-hmm. I was really trying to get into this whole idea of positive thinking. And I woke up in the morning and I was like, no matter what happens today, I'm not going to have a negative thought. So I literally just kind of like, you know, clenched my fist and no matter what happened, positive thought. I went to sleep that night. And I had a dream that my mother died, my father died, my mother-in-law died, my father-in-law died. I woke up, I fell back asleep, I had the exact same dream. Mm-hmm. And I woke up the next day and I realized what I was doing is I was suppressing my thoughts. And mm-hmm. we can't do that. And I think that's, we could get physically ill. I think that we never really, we just live in pain. We think that we're being positive thinkers, but we're not. We're just holding down the fear, and it's just going to fester within us. So I always say that allow what comes up, and then say maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually, when you say maybe, when you're done feeling that feeling, you have a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
You have a place to go. So, yes, there's a place for fear, there's a place for anger, but with maybe, you're going to have a place to go after that. And that's what's most important, to allow what you feel, but also give yourself that open platform where things can be different.
Mm-hmm. In reading your book, maybe gave me an opportunity to have a time to regroup, and that's very important in life.
Yes, because without that ability to regroup, and we were just talking about emotions,
mm-hmm.
that's what
mm-hmm.
that you could actually call it, we're regrouping. We're
mm-hmm.
having these emotions, we're having these fear, we're having this anxiety, but with maybe it allows you to get that perspective back. Well, maybe things are not as bad as I'm projecting. Maybe things could be different. And it's like, whoa. So you go from that linear thought to that expansive place where you could regroup and say, okay, let me just be open. Maybe things will get better. I could sit in the space. I could wait. I could be patient. I could find hope again. So you're right. It's a way to regroup and look at life in a bigger way. Because we lose our way when we look at it in that narrow linear way. We find
mm-hmm.
our way when we're willing to see the whole picture.
So true. Well, with your concept of maybe, it allows us to tap into our creative nature. And we all are creative by nature. And so now the question is, are we identifying the time that we have in our thinking, our thought process, to give us a little time out to regroup?
Right. You're saying it so beautifully. That's what it is. And that's why we tap in to our creativity. Because we go into this more spacious place, this more authentic place within ourselves, where we're going to allow ourselves to have new ideas. If we're walking around thinking we know everything that's going to happen next based on the past, this is not going to work out, this is going to work out. This is possible, this is not possible. We're always in this battle, so where's the space for something new to happen? But when we allow this space of maybe and we're regrouping, we're also going to tap into a larger place where we're going to have more thoughts within ourselves. We create internal possibilities, internal thoughts that are beyond what was possible before because we're saying I'm ready, willing, and able for life to be different. And I've seen so many people become more creative in their lives because of this, just this one word.
Right. So true. Is your concept of maybe for everyone?
No. I would like to say yes, but it's not. If you're somebody who has faith, you're going to read the book and it's not even going to resonate. If you're somebody who's a positive thinker and doesn't let the worry get to you, you're not going to need this. This book works really well for people who are worriers, who have anxiety, who are afraid of uncertainty. Then you're going to have a profound relationship with the book because it's going to be a way to let go of all the pain and all the daily suffering and to find a new way to live and a new way to think. So there are millions of people around the world that are addicted to uncertainty. So if you're one of them, the book is going to be very profound.
Interesting. Any particular group that you can sort of zero in on that would benefit most from the possibilities of maybe?
Well, there are so many. Business. I remember when I was a lawyer, I used to tackle, and when I was just business consulting, each time a client would have a problem, in my mind, we used to always think, when we get through this problem, then everything is going to be okay. And there's always something, if there's so many moving pieces, there's always something happening. And if you're going to be afraid, you're going to be stressed every time something doesn't happen the way you thought, you're not going to be able to, you're going to either live in stress and worry and make yourself sick and pursue your business, or you're not going to pursue all the opportunities in your business because you're always afraid that things aren't working out. So for business owners, it's been very powerful. It's very powerful, I find, for people starting out in the world. There's so much uncertainty, and the economy's been up and down, so it gives people a sense of hope and possibility, even if they find they can't have the job that they want right now, that things could still work out, people pursuing new careers. And I have to say, one of the most profound areas, which was extremely surprising for me, is parenting.
Mm-hmm.
That it's one of those areas where you just can't control it. You want your child to be okay. Things are going to happen. Their child cannot do well in school. Your child could be bullied. And there are these moments where, as a parent, you could just, you're just holding on so tight. It's so painful. But when you embrace this idea of maybe, there's so much more room for your child to grow, to let them find their way, and for you to have less stress and worry. And remember that just because things look this way today doesn't mean that things aren't going to get better. Doesn't mean that your child's not going to figure out the school situation. They're not going to, they're going to figure out their friend situation. It allows us to be open to that and to be less stressed and worried, and the whole family becomes more present and happier. And again, that presence, to miss out, we're so busy projecting that our kids are not okay that we're really not with them. And we're missing out on a smile or a laugh or a good moment together. So with parenting and maybe, it's really an incredible tool and a tool to teach our children, because our children are living in a world today where things are moving so quickly. I could never turn around to my children and say, there'll never be another terrorist attack in New York City. But what I can say to them is I could help them see the way the world is, but at the same time give them hope. Maybe the world will be more peaceful. Maybe they'll find a vaccination for Ebola. And I know that with this idea of maybe, my children are going to be able to wake up every day with hope and possibility and be more open to help solve the problems of the world. So maybe is a great tool for kids, for parents, and for anybody who's experiencing, you know, the daily uncertainty of life.
Mm-hmm. So true. Can you share with us some success stories that you have from your clients in applying the concept of maybe?
Well, there are so many stories.
Mm-hmm.
My book is, you know, the story I told before is one of my favorite because it was maybe every day, maybe every moment. I've had clients who've been successful in their businesses. I've had parents that have had less stress and worry. My favorite actual stories, though, are to share the ones that surprise me. Because I thought in my mind when I wrote the book that it would help people in business. The parenting piece was a little surprising, but it was really more for me business-oriented, because you embrace maybe, you're going to have more success, you're going to have less stress and worry. But people to me, and they tell me their maybe stories, and I always am surprised. And I had this fellow come up to me. He works in the building that I live in Manhattan. And I gave him the book 6 months prior. I gave him the self-published book. And he came up to me and said, Allison, I love your book. And the minute he said it, I got attached. So that's interesting, too. I got attached. Oh, you love my book. I'm so happy you love my book. He said, yeah, I love it so much. And I woke up one day and I said, maybe I can leave my wife. So for me, I was horrified. I thought this book would make families happy, people stay together. And this fellow was looking at me saying, embrace maybe. And I thought, maybe I could leave my wife. And I have to say, I avoided him for a couple of weeks after that because I almost couldn't get over that. And he said, I just really want a new start. And I realized that I was attached the way people would perceive maybe. I thought that they would perceive it the way I wanted them to perceive it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for a while, I avoided the guy. I didn't want to see him. And about, I don't know, maybe 4 months after that, he came up to me and said, Allison, I just want you to know that the reason why I left my wife was because my mother-in-law lived with us, and she was always yelling at me, and she was treating me so poorly, it was very hard to live in the house.
Right.
So I thought to myself after I left, maybe I could prove to my wife that her mother is so cruel to me. And the story gets even funnier. So he goes online and decides to buy one of those pens with a camera in it.
Oh, my gosh.
and as we're speaking, there's a pen in his pocket. And I was like, is that the pen? He said yes. So what he would do is he would film his mother-in-law when she was yelling. You know, the pen was in his pocket with the camera.
Yeah.
And when his mother-in-law was yelling at him, he would film her. And after he filmed her for a couple of days, he actually showed the footage to his wife. And in that moment, she realized that he was telling the truth, and her mother was creating a very difficult situation for their marriage. And today they're actually back together. They're happy, and they're about to close on a new house together.
Okay.
And I didn't ask if the mother-in-law is still living with them.
They just built a little living quarters on the outside.
Or maybe the basement. But it was so interesting that it was this idea of maybe that allowed him to figure it out. It wasn't the way I would, you know, I guess I wrote a story about it would keep families together. But for him, it allowed him to take a step back and then take another step forward. So maybe it's so interesting because you think it's going to work one way and then it works a different way.
Right.
I even had a client come up to me. He actually wasn't a client, excuse me, he was a friend, and I had given him my book, and he came up to me. He said to me, "Allison, I hated your book." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, why did you hate my book?" His wife had just died, and he was grieving.
Yeah.
And he was looking at the book, and he's like, "Allison," he goes, "my wife died. Life will never get better." And I totally understood that. He was in a very difficult place.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, 2 years, so I lived with this thought for 2 years, he came up to me, and he had a girlfriend now. And
yeah.
he said, "Maybe really help me. I grieved for a really long time. And then I
yeah.
reached this point where I was able to say, what else is possible for my life?" That's what maybe does. It says it allows you to squeeze whatever juice is left in that piece of fruit, you know, whatever is left
yeah.
there. And it
yeah.
doesn't mean that this man is happier with his girlfriend than he was his wife. That's not what it's saying. It's saying he's
yeah.
still here and what was left for him. And that was a very profound moment for me because it showed that there was this hardship. There was this horrible event that happened in his life. And then after he was done grieving, he was still here and he recognized maybe there's something else for me in this life.
Right,
so
right.
maybe, you know, has all these applications and I am surprised every single day.
Fantastic. What is the most rewarding aspects in composing the gift of maybe for you?
Seeing people suffer less. Seeing people able to engage in their everyday life with less pain
mm-hmm.
and more openness to what could happen. To look at a little girl's face and see her hopeful because she feels that life has maybe. To see a client who was on the verge of bankruptcy, you know, have a $30 million business today. To see
mm-hmm.
these people living every day without the pain, without the suffering, without the worry, has been so rewarding to me. And every day I wake up and my hope and prayer is, let me just share with one person today maybe, and hopefully it'll alleviate some of their suffering so they could find more joy in their everyday life.
That's beautiful. What would you like for the readers to gain from reading The Gift of Maybe?
That life is filled with hope and possibility. That without hope, I think most of us are not going to get out of bed in the morning. Everything we begin has hope in it. Every business, every relationship, every interaction with our child. And I hope that if they embrace this idea that they'll live more like that. And again, like alleviate their pain and suffering and their worry and reach this place where they get in touch with their authentic self, that they see what they really want in their life, and they're not afraid to pursue it because they realize it could happen, it is possible. And I think that if the more people open up to that and the more they pursue their dreams, the happier they'll be in life.
Wonderful. Where can someone go to buy the book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
The book is available in all the major bookstores. You can get Barnes & Noble, many independent bookstores. You can also find the book on the major online retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. I also write for Huffington Post. I write for Psychology Today. I also have a blog, AllisonCarman.com, and there's a lot of great writing on there. And I also write Beyond Maybe. I write about anger. I write about parenting, businesses. So there's just so much there if people are interested in learning more about my work.
Wonderful. What are some of the techniques that people can apply immediately right now as they listen to your show in understanding and taking the first initial few steps in terms of trying to get to the process of embracing maybe?
That exercise that I spoke about earlier where you mm-hmm. write your worst fear down
mm-hmm.
and then you ask yourself, are you absolutely certain that fear is true? And if you're not, start writing those maybe statements down. And the maybe statements are going to be different for everybody. There are some
yeah.
people that could just say, maybe that thought's not true.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, boom, they open up. There are other people who need to sit down and write these maybe statements out for 20 minutes. Maybe things will get better. Maybe I need to wait. Maybe everything's okay. And over time, you'll find everyone has their own anchor statement. So you'll find which statement works best for you. And I believe that if they do this exercise, they will find
mm-hmm.
relief because they'll recognize that one thought they're having might not be true. Maybe something else is possible. And just that, just knowing that, is going to allow you to show up for the situation with a little more space and openness and a little less fear.
So true. The other thing also, I think in terms of what you were talking about, is this is about taking ownership, taking control of your own self again, versus letting the environment dictating how you should feel.
Right. Which is the most powerful thing that you could do in your life, because the environment is, there's so much that happens every day with your husband, with your wife, with your boss, with your friend. All these people are thinking, they're doing, they're saying all these different things, and either you're going to be able to hold your own internal place where you know who you are and you know what you want, or you're going to be like a feather in the wind. And it's a very difficult way to live, that you're happy because your boss said you're great and you're upset because your wife said you're not. And it's very, very difficult. It's a roller coaster. So with this idea of maybe we build this foundation within ourselves, and when we show up, we're not as vulnerable to everything that happens on the outside world, because we're more sturdy from in the inside.
So true. In your book, The Essence of Maybe, and you have quoted Benjamin Franklin in this, one day is worth two tomorrows. So tell us a little bit about that.
There's nothing better than the moment. We're always so busy projecting about what's going to happen next that we're missing the most important part of our lives, which is being present in this moment, being with our children, being with our loved ones. Sometimes just walking down the block and feeling that beautiful breeze on your face, or eating that beautiful piece of food, we're just missing out on the experiences of being alive, because we're so afraid and we're so worried that life's not working out, that we're not okay. So with this idea of maybe, maybe I am okay. Maybe everything's okay. And you just come back to this moment and you just are able to experience the depth of life. I believe the depth of life is in the now, the here and now. With this idea, we can get to that place, and you know it, because the minute you're not feeling pain, that's another thing too, that you're present without the pain and to have these experiences, and you will feel joy like you've never felt before in the moment. And maybe it's not the only way to get there, but however you get to the moment, that's when you'll feel your biggest peace and the biggest joy that I think one could possibly experience.
How has writing The Gift of Maybe impacted you personally?
It's changed my life in every way. Every day I am filled with hope and possibility, and I'm sharing it with people. And what's so interesting is, at first, maybe was a tool for me to alleviate my stress and worry, but because I work with it every day, I live in it. And to live in maybe, I feel so free. I feel that so much more is possible, that I don't get stuck in those little corners of my mind where things aren't working out, or I don't have these battles between negative and positive thinking. I'm free to experience the moment as it is, and I'm open to be creative and opportunities, and I'm just so curious, and I just can't wait for whatever happens next. My relationship with uncertainty has changed. Uncertainty is now my friend, and I see it as the place where life happens. If you think about it, if you want your life to change, it has to happen in the unknown. We're so afraid of the unknown, but that's where all the goodies lie. That's where your full potential is. So for me, it's just changed everything, because I see the world through a different lens, and I think it's a better one for me in my own life.
Very interesting. We've talked about this before. The people, your circle of friends, your circle of influence, that has changed tremendously as well. And when people are going through this process of embracing the concept of maybe, the other fear that people face is that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be losing some of my closest friends, so to speak. How do you address that issue?
When you first start embracing maybe, it's a very internal experience. I don't think you're going to be looking at everybody in your life saying, maybe, maybe. It's really how you're going to alleviate your own internal suffering.
Right. Yeah.
And I think you're going to start showing up differently. And if somebody in your life is very negative, and they don't want to let go of the fear-based thoughts, and they're holding themselves back, either they're going to look at you and say, wow, what's happening with you? I see you're in this more hopeful place. This is what I'm experiencing. Or they're going to say, the relationship is just naturally going to end. And I know a lot of people, as they change, relationships fall by the wayside sometimes.
Right.
But when you're giving up the pain and suffering, you're good. That's the way you want to live. You're going to be so much more relaxed, so much happier, that the relationships you're meant to have are the ones that you will have.
So true. Then again, what happens is that life is a journey. So you have a little stop in this particular oasis, and then you move on.
Right, and it doesn't mean it wasn't powerful, right?
If
we have relationships that you no longer have, they're still beautiful. They just, it was time to move on, like you said.
Yeah, so true. What's next for you?
I have no idea. I am going to, I am going to continue writing my blog and writing with Psychology Today and Huffington Post. I am thinking about a book on parenting with maybe, because it seems to be such a powerful area where people have really been able to show up differently in their lives and teaching children how to live in maybe. So that's a thought of mine at this point, but I'm just really open to what's going to happen next. But I feel really hopeful. And if it's just this, and this is beautiful, and this is enough, because it's a beautiful philosophy to spread and to be part of every day.
Wonderful. I'm just being crazy here. I'm picturing the fact that you're holding a rose, a petal, maybe, maybe not, maybe, maybe not.
But the fact that there's maybe, that's enough, right? We're already in
there,
maybe not.
There you go. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
I think the two most important ingredients for me for a good life is gratitude, being thankful for everything that is every day, and then a tool to not focus on what's not and focus on not getting lost in your hardships and your worries is to embrace this idea of maybe. And again, it's so simple, and it seems like, oh, it's just a word, but it's more than that, because it allows you to let go of the fear and the worry and the stress and the projections and become very open in your life and have more strength within you to achieve the things that you want. And it's a very powerful place to live. And I hope that between gratitude and maybe, I think it's a great recipe for a good life.
Fantastic. Allison, thank you so much for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday for a very special Valentine's Day show. My guest will be Kimberly Hart. She is a love and relationship expert. Kimberly and I will be discussing the secret to transforming your love life from a new book, Get Love. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Allison, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again, and have a blessed day.
Oh, you too. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.